Searching. We are all on a search. Sometimes it's intentional, other times it's just because we're encountering circumstances in our lives that show us we don't have what we need or need to know in order to address that circumstance, in order to encounter it in a right way. And so we walk through our lives and we find these circumstances and these moments in time. We're drawn to realization that we need something more than we have. We need wisdom. And so that's what this search really is about. And over these past weeks, we've introduced this idea that wisdom is something that's outside of ourselves. Wisdom is when we seek something greater than ourselves for understanding. And we've found wisdom in the Bible as we've looked at a small section of it called Proverbs. It's this collection of sayings and expressions of wisdom that pass along to us an understanding of how the world works based on God's definition of reality. God has been unfolding a story throughout history and time. He's been drawing that out for us to see how he's been at work and what he's doing. And so each week we've been looking at a different theme or topic as Proverbs plants itself right in the midst of that story. Right in the midst of that story about how God is at work in this world and how he's called us to respond in kind with his movement. And so Proverbs gives us some insight, gives us some perspective to how God sees the world and our response in the midst of that. Each week we've looked at a different theme, and this week we're going to continue on by looking at another theme of family. Family and discipline in particular, what does that look like in the midst of family relationships, particularly parents and children? Now, some of you may be saying, well, I'm an adult now. I don't exist in a home with my parents anymore, and so that doesn't necessarily apply. You might think, well, I don't have children of my own. And yet there's wisdom here, even as we're going to unpack it and look at it this morning, that draws us all into this reality that God has defined. Because we each have a piece to play in that, even when it comes to how our family and our families exist, what function they have in the midst of God's created order. And so these words of wisdom, they do come in the midst of this story. And if we look back, we can see that originally God had an intended order and a particular purpose for family. It was a part of his created order. And it was good. And yet that got distorted through time as so many pieces of the created order got distorted. And when we look at wisdom, we can see what distorts it because we experience it ourselves. And from the very beginning, that distortion took place as people said, God, your way and what you've defined as reality, I think I know better. And so this wisdom that we find in Proverbs draws us back to a place where we recognize that it's not what I see is right in my own eyes that defines reality, but it's what is right in God's eyes that broadens my perspective and allows me to see something more than I could in just this limited, narrow scope possible by my own power. And so these words of wisdom point us to that original order, but it also points us to the work that God is doing to redeem and restore purpose. And so what he's done for families is he's restored their original purpose and allowed and invited us to come and partake and experience in that because Jesus made that possible. It's a part of what it looks like to live with Jesus as the king of our lives, to respond to God's wisdom as we trust him. And so for our families, that's the place where we begin. Now, I stand up here on a week, and I can only presume that Matt left this topic for me. Well, he went away because he saw me as the master expert, and so I can now impart all of my knowledge and wisdom to you. No, that's not where we come at this from. Because all of us come from a place of humble need and dependence before God and his wisdom. And so what we read in here is not something that I have mastered myself, but it's something that I am walking in the midst of, and we walk in it together. That recognition that this wisdom is outside of ourselves, and if in fact I stood up here and said, I have this mastered, let me now tell you, you should kick me off the stage. Because that right there is a sign of foolishness. When we've stopped seeking and searching for God's wisdom. So we're going to anchor ourselves in a couple of these passages from Proverbs. We'll make our way around to several of them along the way. If you have your own Bible, you can open it up to Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to read a couple verses from Proverbs 6, and then we're going to flip over to Proverbs 29 towards the end of the book. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 22. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. Wisdom imparted. Wisdom received. Wisdom giving what sounds like protection and guidance and direction through all of life. That sounds like a good thing. In Proverbs 29, verse 17. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. There's two sides to this relationship. It comes with much complexity and in a number of varied ways that we might experience this. But the two sides generally are those who are in authority, maybe parents or grandparents or guardians who are caring for the younger, those who have been given to them to steward and care for with wisdom. And on the other side, these children looking and receiving. And we see the way that this relationship is intended here. And these words bring hope for us in the midst of a world that we can often look at where family becomes the center of tension through conflict and control. Two opposing forces seemingly always in conflict, pushing against each other until one gets their way. And yet in these words, what we find is that God provides a better way. God provides a better way through trust and through submission. And so the question we have in the midst of this is, will we receive that good news and will we trust him with it? We'll unpack that more in the next moments we have together. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for these words of wisdom. Thank you that you saw fit in your plan, as distorted as we've made it by our own doing, you saw fit to continue to seek and to reach out to us and draw us back in. Thank you for your grace, for your love that you've extended to us. Thank you that you've invited us to participate with you through Jesus, through his death, through his resurrection. You've invited us to partake with you in this wisdom, to live in the new life that you've offered to us. May we receive that good news and that gift this morning in a way that touches our hearts. Remove any of my words that would be an obstacle that could stand in the way. May your Spirit speak and stir in our hearts. The same Spirit who inspired these words thousands of years ago, may he draw us more into alignment with your will and your reality. Reveal to us today what you would have for us. Give us the boldness to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. When children first come into this world, bundled in those nice, joyful little packages that you can hold in your arms, it seems like it's a little bit more controllable at that point. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a sense of fear and trepidation that comes. I was talking with somebody earlier this week, and they were reminiscing about when they first left the hospital. And the nurses, you know, escort you out, they bring the baby out, and they make sure that the baby gets put in the carrier, into the car, in just the right way. And then the nurses say, all right, thanks for stopping by, we'll see you later. And for the first time, as parents, you sit there, and this child has been given to you. Yes, it's yours, but it's been given to you in a way that this is now your responsibility. And there's this realization in that moment, what is happening? Like, shouldn't I have had to pass some test? Wasn't there something I should have had to do before they just kind of plopped this thing in the car and said, all right, get out of here? Like, it's a scary thing in that moment. But there's also a little bit, at least at that time, there's a little bit of a sense of, well, at least I know, like, when the baby cries, I know I can figure out what it needs, what it wants, usually, sometimes not, but like, we can get through that. And if the baby, maybe it needs, like, I just need to put it down, put the baby down and buckle it into its little car seat, and I know where it is. I know where the baby is. I can put the baby in the crib, and I know the baby is there. And there's a little bit of a sense of I'm able to control this situation pretty well. Add a few years in, and things begin to change. Because now we have increased mobility. Right? Buckling the baby, that doesn't work so well to hold him down for very long. It also, you add into the mix increased curiosity about life, about all the things there are in the world around them to explore. You add an increased sense of independence and ability, and all that becomes this perfect mix of chaos. Because here's this little toddler running around thinking they know how to rule the world, and every turn and every corner, all the parent can see is danger. And so there becomes this relationship of a lot of direct commands given to keep protection and safety in place. There are boundaries that are established, and it involves a lot of direct commands like go, stop, don't, put it down. I said put it down. If you don't put it down, I'm going to, right? Like, there are very direct command statements that are given in those moments to help provide the safety and direction for that child to grow up, to mature, to have a sense of place in the world and not be in danger that they can't see with their own eyes. There was an article I came across a few years back about this dad in Iowa. He was a graphic designer by trade, and on the side, he would just do some projects to kind of engage his mind and stay creative. And he was a dad of a couple of young children, and he found himself saying these types of command statements, and they were things that were coming out of his mouth that he never anticipated having to give directions for. Questions he never thought he would have to ask, thoughts that probably he would have never assumed before he was a parent he would even ever have to think about. And being a graphic designer, he kind of put these into some creative artwork. And because you did so well on the quiz last week, we're going to take another little quiz this morning. It's a fill-in-the-blank quiz, all right? And you're going to play along with me. You'll get the idea with the first example that we do here. But take a look at the fill-in-the-blank. All right, so this is the dad talking to his kids. Did you put blank on your brother's head? All right, so fill in the blank. You come up with your idea. I'm not going to give you a whole lot of time. You're probably not going to get it right anyways. Did you put, here you go, honey on your brother's head? Did you put honey? Anybody guess honey? Okay, I was going to say you're lying anyways. All right, next one. Stop writing that blank. We're leaving. A lot of things that make sense to fill in this blank right here. Okay, but for this father, stop riding that penguin, we're leaving. Stop riding that penguin, we're leaving. All right, number three, here we go. He's your brother, not a blank blank. He's your brother, not a blank blank. Got some good ideas of what this might be? He's your brother, not a pull toy. Of course, right? I mean, that actually sounds like an important thing, I'm guessing on the context of the moment, that was life-saving in that moment. All right, next up. Get that blank blank off your head now. There's a sense of urgency with the now, right? But he could have just been worked up. So get that blank blank off your head. Got some good guesses here? You're not going to get this one. Get that toilet seat off your head now. Again, this dad, no idea 10 years earlier than this, that 10 years down the road, he was going to be encountering a situation where he would have to give the instructions, take that toilet seat off your head. Next one. Stop that. You can't blank a blank in church. Can't blank a blank in church. All right, before your minds wander too far, you can't build a fort in church. Now, there may be some places where that would be legitimate, but at least in that moment, Couldn't build a fort in church. All right, we'll do one more here. Don't blank my blank. That's what weird kids do. Okay, I'm going to say the second statement probably wasn't necessary, all right? Don't shoot the messenger, all right? I'm not sure what that would do. But anyways, don't blank my blank. Don't lick my arm. That's what weird kids... I guess all kids are weird, because I'm pretty sure I've seen all of them at some point lick somebody's arm. I've had to give this instruction myself, don't lick my arm. So there's a need for direction. There's a need for boundaries. There's a need for safety. But what continues to develop over time as you look at these toddler-aged kids who are needing these boundaries and instructions to keep them safe and to keep everyone else his arms dry, but they need these boundaries and directions and instructions. But there is an increase over time in that sense of mobility, of independence, of confidence in engaging the world. And you watch them walk, these children walk through these next years of life into adolescence. And it's more mobility, more independence, and more confidence. You might even from the outside describe it as a bit of arrogance and ignorance at times that leads them to a place where they look at the world and they think, I can conquer it all. And as parents, we and adults, we can watch from the outside and we can still see, maybe it's not a toilet seat on their head, but we can see that the things they're doing are not in their best interest. And so in the midst of their pursuit of independence and growing confidence and mobility, we find that there's a resistance to that amongst adults and parents who want to push back in those moments. And where does that stem from? It can stem from a lot of different places, sometimes out of a sense of fear and insecurity. If I let go of this too much, it could all just crumble to pieces. And so we hold on all the tighter. And maybe it comes out of a sense of pride, watching our children as they grow older make decisions for themselves and wondering how everybody else is going to look at that and what that reflects back on me. And so we tie our own sense of identity and purpose in them. And it creates this push between the two sides into each other. And it creates that tension. There's a desire for each one out of their own self-will to control each other and the situation, to pursue after what each one wants for themselves and ultimately what they see is right in their own eyes. And whoever has the louder voice, the most leverage, wins the battle. But the relationships fall apart. And so we find this wisdom. We find this wisdom speaks of something different. It points to a new way, a different way of thinking about what those relationships should look like, and it involves all the parties involved, and yet we can only be responsible in that for the way that we engage it. You can only be responsible for your part. And so we enter into this already with a sense of our own limitations and our need for something bigger than we are that we can trust in, because in and of ourselves, we can't do it. And so God's plan points to something different. And that starting point along the way is that we enter in a place of humility, recognizing our need and dependence on God. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children, they will give you peace, they will bring you the delights you desire. This is not a short-term proverb, right? This isn't about how to get coffee in bed served to you by your children tomorrow morning. That would be a delight, but that's not what this is speaking to. This is speaking of a bigger picture desire that parents would have for their children, and it comes out of the context of the wisdom that's been spoken throughout this book. And so as parents, before we even get to this word discipline, as adults, as we engage what this looks like in the areas of responsibility that we have, we ask this question, what is it that we ultimately desire? What do we desire? It speaks to our heart and our aim, the direction we point everything else we do in this relationship with children. What is it that we most desire to be the product of that relationship? If we're honest with ourselves, there are times where our goals may be other than what's spoken of as wisdom here. There are times where what's in our heart and what we desire is perfection. We may not say it directly, but the way that we engage and treat our children, the way we create an environment in our home says that perfection is what's most important. And in the midst of that, we create a harbor for shame, for hiding, for lying. Perhaps what we desire most for them is success, wealth, status, fame. And when we put that up as the end goal, the end objective, that they would in some way perhaps fulfill the American dream for themselves, when we hold that up as our vision for what we desire most, we give up something along the way, and we give up what God has spoken to us time and time again, what wisdom looks like. Wisdom doesn't look like any of those things in and of themselves. Wisdom looks like a humble dependence on God and a pursuit, a search for his kingdom, to seek after it. And so the wisdom we find in this, before we even get to the part that a parent plays in shaping through discipline the environment for their children to grow into maturity through loving correction and rebuke, before we even get that, it speaks to us here to challenge us to look at the way that we are desiring, what we are desiring, ultimately for our children. And what does that wisdom look like for anybody? Wisdom looks like a confidence and a sense of identity that's wrapped up in who God says I am, first and foremost. And nothing can take that away. When I'm found in him, in my relationship with him, my identity is secure. What does that wisdom look like? It looks like the shaping of a heart that is in response and in alignment with the character shaping of Jesus himself. What he looks like, what his heart is what my heart should be moving towards. It looks like a sense of purpose. It's not just based on what I can, in my limited perspective, see as my own reality, but a purpose that's defined by what God is doing in the midst of this world. There's a piece of that that is there for me. And so when we talk about the desire that we can delight in, the wisdom we have and we bring together here is that delight is not just something in the short term, but is the life of a child that's drawn into the bigger story and picture of what God is doing in this world. It gives them the ability to function and respond and to listen and to obey to what God is doing. But we do come to this word, discipline. Discipline your children, it says. And this word can oftentimes end up being somewhat fairly limited in its scope. And what we may particularly think about discipline as some form of just punishment. But as we look through Proverbs, what we'll see, and what you'll see beyond even the words that we were able to look at here this morning, that discipline takes on a number of different functions. There are resources and tools at a parent's disposal that allow them to shape the environment for their child to grow into that place of maturity and wisdom for themselves. And that's going to look very different depending on the age and the stage and the personality of the child. The way that they're engaging and making choices will call upon a parent to respond and act accordingly in a way that's going to help shape that environment for them best. In Proverbs 22:15, it says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child." We've seen that. We've seen that. There is folly bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of discipline will drive it far away. Well, again, this word, the rod, right, that can grab our attention, right? Because oftentimes the rod is simply equated with a physical form of punishment. And while there may be space and latitude in the way that Proverbs describes how to engage a discipline in a child, discipline is a broad spectrum of what it looks like. And if you look at how wisdom is talked about in these passages over and over again, it talks about training and correcting, instruction and punishment. Unfortunately, these words have been used to justify abuse that comes out of anger and malintent. And that's something as parents, no matter what form of discipline we're using, it's a constant point of reflection and drawing back on what God has told us and revealed us to be true about ourselves in our own heart. Because whether physical punishment or any other form of discipline through training, rebuking, or otherwise, there's always the room that our hearts would be moving out of an intent other than what God would desire of us. And so the very act of discipline becomes not only a shaping tool for the child who we're engaging, but it becomes a shaping tool for us. Do we believe that God's kingdom way is true? Do we trust that what God has said is true in the way we treat our children? That's a piece of where this responsibility comes. Not just a motive and an idea of behavior control to make things look a certain way. Not just a motive of anger so I get some sense of release when my children have frustrated me and I blow up at them. But a coming back again in those moments where maybe I did fail. And I can say in my relationship with my children, and I know with others with me, that often the most shaping experiences of discipline are when something didn't go quite right. And a parent has to go to their children and recognize and acknowledge their own imperfection. Those things have lasting impact in a relationship that says it's not about me getting just what I want. It's not just me as a parent keeping up a front that says, I've got it all together, you need to do what I want. But it lowers the barrier that would then stand in the way of what truly can take place in a relationship between a parent and a child. But ultimately what we find in this, these verses here, is also the motive is always related to and always about the outcome of the child's benefit, what's good for them. And that doesn't mean giving in to their every whim and feeding them, because that's not for their best either. But the motive is to bring them to a place where that folly that is bound up in their hearts, where they encounter and experience and see that folly for what it truly is and see the good news of another way that's possible as in a trusting relationship with God. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." Is careful to discipline them. There's a thoughtfulness to this. It's not just haphazard and random. Are there moments where adults have to respond on their feet in a moment? Yes. But there's a thoughtfulness to the overall approach that continuously looks back and says, what's actually happening here? That looks and seeks for God's wisdom to think through appropriately what's happening within those relationships, what's happening within that home. Because there's a proactive necessity that's described here. That it's not just sort of waiting for something to happen on its own. In fact, God has even from those verses that we looked at as Brittany read them earlier today, God has given within families the purpose of passing on from one generation to the next what it looks like to have a faith in a God, to be able to trust in what he says, that it's true, to love him first and to love each other as a result. Families are given that responsibility, parents and grandparents and even others who come alongside and are able to support that vision for what family should look like, who are helping fill the gaps. As a church family, we're called to fill those gaps in each other's lives, to give children an experience where they're seeing and understanding and being taught the very things that they're seeing and experiencing at home. A dependence and humility on God and His wisdom. And so, parents, there is a responsibility that's in this. For parents to hold that responsibility, not with a fear and trepidation that causes them to step back and say, well, I can't do anything right, but to engage in the process with a humble dependence on God, trusting Him as we go. But children have a part in this too. It is a relationship that engages children too, and so that's why we've brought all the children in here today, so I can tell you what you're supposed to do. No, but this is a part of the conversation. There is a role children play in this, and the Proverbs were written in many ways through the tone of a parent to a child, saying, listen to this wisdom. There's something beyond you that you need to know. And so we see this in Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. There's something inside of us that's drawn to that. If we're honest, there's something inside of us that knows that I don't have what it takes. That I need the voices of other people speaking into my life who have wisdom that they can pass on to me. And that's the value we add as a church family, is that there is wisdom through the years that can be passed from one generation to the next. But children, it takes a posture of humility that's learned over time because it doesn't come naturally. A posture of humility that says, God has placed people of authority in my life, my parents. And there's something that they have for me that I'm being asked to respond to. That resistance will grow in us if it's not intentionally worked against. Listen to these instructions that are given to children. Put yourself in that place of somebody giving these words to you. Have a sense of what happens as you listen and receive them. Proverbs 10:1 will start. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. A wise man heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. A discerning son heeds instruction, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. Throughout Proverbs, time and time again, these instructions are given to children that say things like, don't despise discipline or resent rebuke. Keep these commands. Don't forsake the teaching. Heed this instruction. Don't leave the path. Don't hate instruction. When I feel like, and I read those words, and I feel like they're just coming at me, and as children, even as adults, when there is someone speaking that directly to us, or when there's words coming at us that feel like they're pushing back against us, my response is to defend and to resist, to rebel, to push back and say, you can't tell me what to do. What right do you have? So there's a work that has to be done in our hearts to become people who can receive something other than what we naturally are inclined to receive. To heed instruction, to obey directions that are given to us outside of ourselves. It feels at times counterintuitive of what I want, how to get what I want. So something has to be done in the midst of that rebellion that naturally stirs in our hearts. And in fact, if it's not dealt with at some point, it will carry over, it will carry on, it will become a part of the life that we lead. And ultimately, Proverbs say this is where our lives lead to destruction, is when we continue to build up that habit of resistance and rebellion to any other wisdom but what we can determine on our own. We hold all other wisdom but our own at an arm's length. And our lives begin to fall apart. And so there has to come, at some point, a trust in something bigger. A trust in someone who knows more than I do. The way that I lower my guard, the way that I remove that habit from my life is to practice what it looks like to respond in trust to authority as it's placed in my life. And this is as true for children as it is for us adults. But in our homes as children, this is the place where God has shaped and given an environment where we get to practice that place of submission and trust with the authorities that he's placed over our lives. Because ultimately this points us to a bigger reality, a bigger truth, that when those environments are created in the wisdom of God, it actually reflects something bigger about what God is doing in this world. In Proverbs 3, 11 through 12, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." As parents, the environment we create for our children is meant to be a reflection and a picture of what it looks like to be a part of the family of God, those that he is calling in to inhabit his kingdom, those who are responding to Jesus as king and trusting that what he says is true, living in his reality. Homes and families that we exist in become a place to practice that act of submission and trust. And so for children, you learn to submit and to trust, even though your parents are broken people too. They're awesome, they're amazing, they're wonderful, but they'll make mistakes. And in fact, what you're being asked to do in trusting them is not trusting them because they always get it right, but you're trusting them because God says that's the way this works. You're trusting that even when mistakes happen, there's grace and there's redemption and there's something that can happen out of that mess that only God can do when we trust that he's doing it. And for parents, this makes no sense if the world revolves around fear, if the world revolves around what you're able to control with your own power. Because there is ultimately a release that happens in this that says it's not even just about my image of what I want my child to be. Well, there's a bigger picture of what God desires for them, and he wants to use me to help shape that. There's a freedom that comes when we believe that that's true. There's a freedom that comes that I don't have to control, that what happens in this situation, as other people interpret it, doesn't even necessarily reflect back on me. What I'm called to is faithfulness, and what God has called me to do in the midst of this relationship. That makes no sense unless there's a God who's at work, who's doing something bigger and better and greater than we could by our own power. Because on our own, we live in a world that will tell us it's about our control, it's about what we can accomplish, and that tension falls right into our families. God says there's a better way. There's a better way. A way that brings us to peace and to goodness as we trust in him and as we submit to him. Let's pray. Father, there are any number of ways as these words of wisdom have been spoken, as your Spirit has been stirring. It's not just a thought to hang out in the air, but it's something that you desire us to respond to. There's a work you desire to do. For some, that might look like repentance. It might look like an acknowledgement that we've been trying to do it our own way, by what's right in our eyes. You're asking us to submit. We might not even know exactly what that looks like, but we're trusting. Lead us in repentance. For others, it's a need for encouragement. There's been hurt, there's been pain, there has been that tension, there's been that conflict experienced as a child or as a parent. And God, I pray that by your grace and your love, you would pour that encouragement. Lift up the heads of those who are discouraged to see you and your presence with them. Now, for those who are seeking wisdom, who have uncertainty and questions and circumstances of what this looks like, I pray that you, as you have promised, will provide everything that's needed to walk with you, to respond in obedience and submission. So do your work as only you can. May we respond and join in to your kingdom, worshiping King Jesus and giving our lives wholly to him. We pray this in his name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close our time? You are going to walk out these doors and go into a world that will tell you that it's about your control, it's about what you can accomplish, it's about what you see as right in this world and going after it and getting it. And God has shown us a better way. A way that's better, that comes as we trust him and submit to him together. Seek his wisdom as you go today. Thanks for being here.